the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
The Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are here live once again on a Tuesday evening. I am your host, Chris Featherstone, on behalf of Crave Wrestling. And we also have Derek, our Raw correspondent, coming up. Raw correspondent / Flavor of the Week expert. We always have a great time with the Flavor of the Week. Speaking of Flavor of the Week, this week we have the thumbs up and down. We got some good reviews, some good feedback on the thumbs up and down that we had last week on the Four Horsemen. And we're going to do another thumbs up and down for you this week. So we're going to do the NWO, the New World Order. We got 21 names. That is only the beginning. That's only the original incarnation of the NWO. Of course, we know that it's probably double that. As far as NWO Japan, NWO Elite, NWO 2000, NWO Wolfpack, NWO B, NWO Hollywood, all the NWOs that was given to us between 96 and 2000. And so but we're going to do the original incarnation of the NWO, and we're going to do a thumbs up and down. We had a good time last week with the Four Horsemen, and we'll see where it goes. Thank you so much for continuing to support Crave Wrestling. Like I said, our numbers are getting better and better, but we do need your help. We do need your support. We do need to continue to have those numbers growing from how it was 2 weeks ago. And other than that, we just continue to appreciate all of your support. Again, anyone who wants to take advantage of the thousands and thousands that is this show has reached through our outlets, the media outlets that I write for, which is Bleacher Report and WrestlingInc.com, as well as other sites that promote the show, and just different outlets, CraveWrestling@gmail.com is the correct email is the correct email address, and we will continue to flood the airwaves with the best recap and analysis of professional wrestling. So if you want to be a part of that, if you want to be a part of the movement, the Pancakes and Power Slams movement, email CraveWrestling@gmail.com. If you want to advertise, if you want to sponsor, we will help you expand your product. Thank you so much for continuing to do that, continuing to inquire, and thank you for continuing to support with the thousands of people that support Crave Wrestling and Pancakes and Power Slams on a weekly basis. We are at we are about almost a quarter away, about almost 25 episodes away from our 100th episode of Pancakes and Power Slams. I think we're about 26 away, 26, 27 episodes away. And I thank you so much for just continuing to show your love through Pancakes and Power Slams. And 100th episode, we got some fun, fun, fun things in store for each and every one of you. Thank you so much for that. All right, so let's get into Raw this week. But first, before that, let's get into the trivia. Who was the Iron Sheik's WWE Tag Team Championship partner? Who was the Iron Sheik's WWE Tag Team Championship partner? WWE Tag Team, already, people are scholars already. The correct answer is Nikolai Volkov. And if anybody wants to continue to one up me there, feel free to let us know when they defeated, when they won the championship, and what WrestleMania they defended at. So, all right, let's get to the Raw episode. Yes, we have 26 more episodes left. This is episode number 74. 26 more left, and we will be good to go for number 100. All right, Raw, Triple H addresses last week's Raw ending. Says actions towards Daniel Bryan was personal. Introduces Randy Orton and presents him with a new Cadillac Escalade, a new black, jet black Cadillac Escalade. Now, if my employer decided to give me, if the Bleacher Report decided to give me a jet black Cadillac Escalade as a result of being such a good feature columnist, I would absolutely be 100% incredibly happy about that. And I definitely think that just consider this a pitch. Consider this an attempt to have the Bleacher Report hear me out on this. I would definitely accept a jet black Cadillac Escalade. So all the higher ups, give me the email. Feel free to, if you're listening to the show, feel free to contact me about that Escalade, that black Escalade. But it was interesting. It just really it continued to play onto the heel role of Triple H and Randy Orton, and it's working. It's they're doing a good job with that. They're doing a good job with really building Daniel Bryan up and really building Randy Orton as a heel. There's been many times that Randy Orton has commented about that Randy Orton has commented about being a heel. So log on to the chat room. Log on live to the chat room. We have our Crave Wrestling staff moderating the chat room right now, having some fun with that. We have Crave Wrestling staff moderating the chat room. We have Derek, our Raw correspondent, getting ready to give us the latest of Raw coming here soon. And of course, you have me, Chris Featherstone, the founder of Pancakes and Power Slam. So log into the chat room. If I don't say a trivia question live on air, our Crave Wrestling staff in the chat room would definitely make some trivia questions while I'm talking, when I'm giving the latest on Raw. So no matter what, there's all types of fun. Tweet at Crave Wrestling. Call in live 347-884-8452. If you're listening to this show in your room where your wife or your kid is asleep, just log on the chat room. We've actually had people say that before. We've had people on the chat room say that they want to call in, but their wife is asleep. They're listening to the show in their room, and their wife is asleep, and so they don't want to be rude, and so they're logging on to the chat room and having fun on the chat room there. So our Crave Wrestling staff will moderate the chat room like every week, and we will just continue to have the funnest of fun. Real quick, one more question before we get heavy into Raw here. Who were the members of Strike Force? Who were the members of Strike Force? All right. Now, the next, we have Daniel Bryan coming out and cutting a promo on stage. Just really did a good job with the opener there. I'm hoping that we see more. With the Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton storyline. And I'm hoping that we have more people involved, because if it's just, I understand that we have the Shield, which is a very good addition to this whole corporation thing. Wade Barrett has been an indirect member. However, I really hope that it's just not exclusively Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. Now, this feud, mind you, Sheamus and John Cena are going to be out for around a half a year. And so they need to do is the best that they can with building legitimate baby faces. The only legit baby face that you have, there's two. There's Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. CM Punk is just feuding with Paul Heyman, so he's not really a major, major baby face right now. And I definitely think that Daniel Bryan, Christian would be a good one. RVD is more of a part-time guy. So RVD really isn't in the list of top baby faces. I'd imagine, you know, Jericho will be back beginning of the year, so he can be in the mix. But he still has that part-time feel to him as well. So you really need to just build up some good baby faces. Definitely in need for that. So far, so good with Daniel Bryan. He has an organic feel to him that cannot be manufactured whatsoever. Cody Rhodes defeats Fandango. Speaking of developing baby faces, that would be Cody Rhodes is definitely a good one. Hopefully, it seems as if they are not showing enough confidence in Cody Rhodes. They definitely need to spend much more time with Cody Rhodes and really honing him as a legitimate babyface. And what we saw on SmackDown, we'll get to that in a minute. What we saw on SmackDown definitely was not a good way to hone Cody Rhodes in as a legitimate babyface, and I definitely think that spending more time with him, getting the crowd behind him, and really spending some, really being confident and investing and pulling and giving him the go ahead as being one of the biggest, one of the top baby faces. Other than that, you're just being the same situation that you're in now, with only having really one or two big legitimate top baby faces, which is not good to have. Of course, The Miz is just wallowing into mid-card / announcer status, and you know that was basically a flop, making him a baby face. Although I do like The Miz as a baby face, people just criticize The Miz so much as a baby face, but if they spent a lot of time working with The Miz as a babyface, I think that he could work. I think if they feuded him with Alberto Del Rio, I'm not giving up on The Miz. I'm definitely not going to give up on The Miz. I definitely think that The Miz has an opportunity to become a good babyface if there is the right investment in him. Otherwise, he'll just be having the same type of this redundancy that he's been having, and just mid card feuds: Fandango, Wade Barrett, Curtis Axel, all the mid card feuds that the Miz has been having has not really been very helpful in his face run. So we'll see where that leads us. Next we have, that led to a distraction from the Miz, and Rosa Mendez comes back and does an impersonation of Fandango, which is pretty funny. I wonder if, speaking of helping the Miz, I wonder if Rosa Mendez is actually going to be a permanent ballet for the Miz. That may work, and even if Miz decides to make a heel turn, I definitely think that Rosa Mendez would help him, help the Miz be a valet for him as a face or heel. So Rosa Mendez with the Miz, no matter what, is a good idea. So hopefully we'll see more of that coming soon. And that's just not a one-time thing with them. Leads to a tag team match with Damien Sandow was doing some commentary and also attacked Cody Rhodes, which the babyfaces won at that time as well. CM Punk defeats Curtis Axel. The stipulation that Paul Heyman was forced to get in a ring with CM Punk if Axel lost. Security brings in Paul. He goes away from CM Punk, tries to run away from him. And then security brings Heyman back to the ring. He gets cornered by CM Punk. CM Punk, puts his hands around his neck and gets cornered by CM Punk. And then leads to the low blow and just a massacre of a beating that was executed by Paul Heyman and Curtis Axel, which mainly involved handcuffs and a kendo stick. And it was just no good. Kudos to CM Punk. A lot of people know that I'm not necessarily a CM Punk guy, but kudos to CM Punk by taking that beating that he did. That was very humbling to take that type of beating. And I tell you what, it's a decent filler feud. I'm not sold on Curtis Axel whatsoever. I'm just not sold on Curtis Axel. I don't think Curtis Axel is by any stretch of the imagination a worthy guy right now. I think that of course Heyman being with Curtis Axel is the saving grace right now. And even with Heyman, I still don't think he's that over. And to make it even to go even further with that, it's just awkward to see Axel and CM Punk. I understand, like I said, I do understand that it's a filler feud. I get it. I'm okay with the Night of Champions match between CM Punk against Axel and Heyman. I do understand that it's a filler to get us back into something else greater, at least I hope, but Curtis Axel needs to drop the Intercontinental title ASAP. It's interesting how it's Night of Champions. The pay-per-view is Night of Champions. And so that means that every title should be defended on the pay-per-view. And not once did I hear the Intercontinental title being an option for the match. And so this kind of violates the whole Night of Champions thing. The Intercontinental title is once again not defended. Mind you, he won the title in June. Father's Day this year. Big tribute to Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig. It was a feel-good moment. But he's defended the title only four times since he's won it. And that was 2 months ago. And over 2 months ago. So 4 times in 2 months, that's just a horrible, horrible. And I think, like, his last defense was over a month ago when before Jericho left on SmackDown. And so the guy does not defend the Intercontinental title. He needs to drop the title. Ambrose, too. Ambrose needs to drop the U.S. title. The guy hardly ever defends the U.S. title. The mid-card titles needs to be more prestigious and not just to be a prop and just to be held by someone who don't defend it. And Curtis Axel is that guy. Curtis Axel is the guy that unfortunately needs to get away from the Intercontinental title scene. So, next question. Looks like the chat room's loading up. Great job. Next trivia question is, who owned the CWF? It might be a little bit more difficult. Who owned the CWF? That should be that's for the older heads as far as determining who owned the CWF. So, or just the wrestling scholars who decide to who's been keeping up with it. So, who owned the CWF is the next question. Next, we have Brie Bella defeats Natalya. Sure. more of the Total Divas hullabaloo going on with them. Makes sense that they have been feuding with each other. But I tell you what, Natalya needs a world heavyweight championship run. Without any question, Natalya needs a Divas championship run, without question. And I definitely think that getting Natalya got a comment on the chat room. CM Punk versus Heyman feud is so boring. I don't know about boring, but I do think that something needs to be done with that. As far as Curtis Axel was not the answer. Curtis Axel was definitely not the answer. Punk and Lesnar had a fantastic match at Survivor Series at SummerSlam, and it worked. And I definitely think that they have the ability to have a really good feud if more time is spent on it. But unfortunately, Curtis Axel is all we have right now. So we'll see where that goes. And again, as far as the Divas are concerned, I understand the total Divas is happening right now, and Brie Bella and Natalya, you know, they're kind of trading spots as far as having the appropriate wins between each other. I get it. Natalya won a singles match before, but I definitely think that that this is going to get old real fast. And AJ involvement, I believe it was coined a pipe bomb cell. I can't believe they would even spend the time in comparing AJ's promo to CM Punk's promo. That just there's not even a comparison. There's no type of comparison whatsoever. And AJ's little pipe bombshell, you know, she was alluding to, you know, people, you know, getting their way, ascending their way up in the rankings, you know, in some way. And it was a bore to me. I really think it was a bore to me. It just really didn't do anything as far as advance the Divas division. You had what, JoJo? The faces were in the ring, and the heels were outside. So you had JoJo. You had Naomi, Cameron, and Natalya on the inside, and then you on the outside you had the Bellas and Eva Marie. So seven divas. AJ's talking to seven divas, and so you're alluding to everyone. You're alluding to the faces. You're alluding to the heels. This doesn't make sense, and hopefully we'll get more out of the Divas division soon. But as of now, AJ needs a better opponent, and hopefully that opponent's Natalya. Natalya is by far the best person on the roster, and I definitely think that Natalya should be the pick to get the next shot as champion. RVD defeats Alberto Del Rio, becomes number one contender for a World Heavyweight Championship. Makes sense, I suppose. RVD would help Alberto Del Rio. Alberto Del Rio's World Heavyweight Championship run has been absolutely stale, without question. Very, very stale run. And for some reason, they're continuing to have Alberto Del Rio as a main event player. Alberto Del Rio, and I'm going to be honest with you, as far as his in-ring ability is very good, his charisma is boring. And Alberto Del Rio should be, at best, an upper mid-card wrestler. For the WWE to continue to have him a part of the World Heavyweight Championship picture in any regard, it's just a total waste. It's a total waste of time. It's a total waste of booking. He should be in the mid-card. He should be somewhere in the mid-card. Maybe a heel mid-card champion. It would even make sense for Alberto Rio to be U.S. champion. He has these Mexican flags around the ring when he wrestles. He can be aristocratic and talk about how he came from Mexico, and he's showing everyone that he's the champion of the United States. Even as a Mexican wrestler, he can say I'm a Mexican wrestler, but I'm the champion of the United States. That can revive the United States Championship without question. But you're making him a world champion, and nobody cares. Even Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler was a very credible challenger, a very credible champion. You know, he was poorly booked, and of course he had his concussion. But he was a credible challenger and champion. But feuding against Alberto Del Rio just didn't work out, because Alberto Del Rio is not a good and not a worthy champion. You had Alberto Del Rio as a face go against Jack Swagger at WrestleMania. That was a bust. Although you have two really good wrestlers there with Del Rio and Jack Swagger, but feuding them for the WrestleMania was just a horrible idea. And Del Rio, I think that the WWE need to go ahead and count the losses with Alberto Del Rio as far as being a main event guy. Right now, you need the World Heavyweight Championship to be revived in some capacity. Now, I definitely don't think that Rob Van Dam is going to be World Heavyweight Champion. He's like the Chris Jericho of Chris Jericho right now. He's definitely going to be someone who puts Alberto Del Rio over. And that's good, but you know, when it boils down to it, I don't see anything promising coming from Alberto Del Rio's World Heavyweight Championship tenure, and he needs to drop it. He needs to drop the title without question. And then after that, the next match we have is Randy Orton defeating Christian, which is a really good match. Of course, they put on fantastic matches all the time, without question. Daniel Bryan appears on Titantron, speaks about his new car and Night of Champions. Spray paints "Yes" all over his car. Good development there with their feud. Titus O'Neil defeats Jack Swagger, and I mention this every week. I write a review. On WrestlingInc.com. About SmackDown, also about an Impact Wrestling review, but I write a SmackDown review and talk about SmackDown every week. And I did mention that having single and tag team matches between these two, the primetime players and the Real Americans, is a good way to revive the tag team division. So that's a good deal. Daniel Bryan defeats the Shield in a gauntlet match. He pinned Seth Rollins, which was a good match. And then he loses to Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns by the DQ. Shield takes out Daniel Bryan. Orton comes out and gives him an RKO. Now, there's a good and bad with that. Good and bad with that. The good is the time that they're taking for this angle. I'm a big fan of it. I think it's a great idea. To spend time to give it some good old school time. However, the problem I have, like I said before in the beginning of the show, is that they're spending time. They're spending time to just be. Daniel Bryan gets beat up. Randy Orton gets the advantage, week after week after week. I don't think that Daniel Bryan's going to beat Randy Orton for the title, and I do think that more people need to be involved. Like I said, I wrote an article on Bleacher Report about more people who should be members of the new corporation, and Ryback is a name that should be thrown in there. Of course, Wade Barrett has been having some indirect affiliation. Biggie Langston would be another one. He's been solely tied to Dolph Ziggler and AJ Lee since he came up from NXT in December. So he needs to break away from that totally, and he would be a good muscle for the corporation. So essentially, if I'll be able to book this feud and give it some time, I would have Daniel Bryan go through a list of people to get back to Randy Orton, especially after Night of Champions. I would have Randy Orton somehow slither his way into beating Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan had to be forced to earn his way and climb his way back up to a sense of getting a title shot. So basically he would have to be forced to go against Ryback. He would have to be forced to go against Biggie Langston, The Shield, Wade Barrett, and in that time, you know, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania season to be, you know, around will be looming. And he'll have a feud again directly with Randy Orton. So better approach that way, and we'll see. Overall, to be honest with you, it wasn't a very good pickup Raw from the really good Raw last week. It kind of fell flat to me. So let's see what Derek, our Raw correspondent, thinks. What do you think about this week's Raw, Derek?
This week's Raw was a bit lackluster. Again, everybody, I'm Derek, the Raw correspondent. Welcome to Pancakes and Power Slams here with Chris Featherstone. Need your support. Love your support. We know you want to support us. Pancakes and Power Slams is just getting bigger and bigger. We see the numbers. This is an awesome audience we have. Anyway, when it comes to Monday Night Raw, a bit lackluster. It starts out, Triple H comes to the ring. He's got the Shield ringside as a bit of security for Triple H. You know, he rips on Bryan for a few minutes. Then he calls out Orton. He ends up buying Randy Orton a Cadillac. I mean, that's amazing. He doesn't want a Cadillac. However, the part of this that I was kind of disappointed about, Bryan comes out, has words with Triple H, Randy Orton. Back 12 years ago, that Cadillac would have been destroyed. The windows would have been busted out. Stone Cold would have gotten on top of that and just absolutely tore the roof off of it, drank a few beers, and said goodnight. It's the fact of the matter, yeah, he spray painted all over it later on in the show. But again, that just kind of shows the difference between what Raw was and what it is now. And I was so ready for Daniel Bryan just to jump on the Cadillac and just start beating it up. He didn't do that. Kind of disappointing. But Triple H announces he's going to have a gauntlet match that night with the Shield. After that, Cody Rhodes versus Fandango. After a few holds, Miz comes out to Fandango's music. Sandow jumps him in the ring to distract Rhodes. Maddox comes out, calls it a tag match. Miz pins Sandow when Fandango walks away. I've always been a Fandango supporter. I don't know why he's walking away like that. If it's a cheap attempt to try to bring him a little more heat, a little more attention. They can do so much better with this guy. I just see it in him. I know that you can connect with him. He came in, I mean, his entrances, everything, his build-up, his promos were excellent. He just falls flat on his face. I'm tired of seeing that happen to so many wrestlers that I believe could actually make a difference and do something. But enough with that. If him and Miz are going to feud, that'll be great. That'll be a little push for Fandango, or it could be a total disaster. But the Miz is somebody who's really grown as a solid performer. I believe he can carry anybody, and if Fandango needs that extra little push from Miz, hopefully they can work together, put off a really good match, good feud, and Fandango can move on to bigger and better things. Punk versus Axel. There's a stipulation if Punk wins. He gets Paul Heyman, which everybody wants to see. Axel handcuffs Punk. Heyman gets in his face. Punk kicks Heyman, and Axel hits him with the chair. Then a kendo stick comes out, and Heyman starts beating Punk with a kendo stick, a la Steve Blackman. And Paul Heyman is now playing the I love you. I think, you know, how could you betray me? One of those, you know, don't bite the hand that feeds you. So I get it. Paul Heyman kind of turned it around, so he's trying to see like he's the victim of CM Punk's hatred. I'm not buying it too much, but again, the feud's gone kind of stale. I mean, Paul Heyman isn't a wrestler. CM Punk can get a hold of him, hit him a few times. That's pretty much all you're going to get from that. So they either need to do something or get off the pot. So let's make this a little more interesting. Natalya versus Brie Bella. Natalya with the sharpshooter. Bella gets loose. Bella drop kicks Natalya. AJ appears. Another useless, pointless Divas match. Raw correspondent, I just want everyone out there in Radio Land to know the Divas are just an absolute waste of Monday Night Raw time. They could be doing so much. I mean, it just seems just so lackluster and boring. I'm tired of seeing it. I'm tired of watching it. It doesn't make any sense to me. So, again, something with that, do something. It did nothing for Monday Night Raw. That's the main reason. It's doing nothing for the brand. RVD versus Del Rio, that was a good match. Ricardo jumps on the announce table and starts shouting RVD. Ricardo can do a lot for a person as far as, you know, in the wrestling world. He did a lot for Del Rio. I mean, I think everyone knows that Del Rio was better off with Ricardo. I mean, that gimmick worked for him. And it's working for RVD. It's an awesome match. I'm glad to see it. I'm glad we got to see Ricardo again. And actually, it distracts Del Rio, and RVD gets the pin. So it worked to his benefit. And the whole RVD coming back, I mean, so far, so good. And have no qualms with it. I think it's a very good return for RVD, especially now that he's got Ricardo in his corner. Christian versus Orton, another incredible match. After a thumb to the eye, evidently RKO gets the win. Brian appears on a Titantron, spray paints again, yes, all over RKO's SUV. I think that Brian should have destroyed the windows. Again, I was expecting that the whole show. I didn't get what I wanted, so I was kind of let down by that. I mean, that's soft. And it was probably washable spray paint for everything we know. Titus O'Neil against Jack Swagger. Zeb Coulter said, if you can't feed them, don't breed them. It was a garbage match. I still see what they're doing with this whole We the People. I don't think too many people were actually behind it. I mean, a lot of people chant it, but again, when the product comes to the stage, it's not really doing much for the WWE. They need to either revamp it or just let it go. Kind of the same thing with the Shield, and I hate to say that, but it needs a shot of adrenaline. It needs something to bring it back. In my opinion, Raw was much better maybe 3-4 months ago than it has been lately. So, you know, backtrack. Let's see what's going on. Surprises. Bryan versus the Shield in the gauntlet match. Defeats Rollins, defeats Ambrose. Superstars can't really do anything about it. They're just up there standing there, but, you know, they all wanted to just jump in and help Daniel Bryan. It's a good sympathy move for the WWE. I understand it. Kind of puts a little bit of emotion into it. However, it's, again, the Shield, how big of a threat can they really be? As of lately, definitely. So thank you very much. I will talk to everyone else shortly. Please call in 347-884-52. I am Derek, the Raw correspondent. Agree with me, disagree, argue. I'm ready for all kinds of criticism. So let's see what we can get. Log into the chat room. Follow Chris Featherstone. Thank you very much. Back to you, Chris.
All righty. Thank you so much, Derek. As always, very great job, esteemed Raw correspondent. Call in live, 347-884-8452. Hopefully we'll be able to get you on the line today. Other than that, let's continue to have some fun. We'll have some great interaction in the chat room right now. The question out right now is, who owned the CWF? Who owned the Continental Wrestling Federation, the CWF? So thank you so much for that, for continuing to support. This one may be a bit difficult, but just, CWF. We've got some wrestling heads. We've got many people who watch, and people on the chat lines having some fun right now. So all the people who are in the chat room, let us know. CWF, who owned the CWF? All right, let's go to the SmackDown for this past week. Again, read my SmackDown review. It's real fun. Usually every week I do a Impact Wrestling and a SmackDown review on wrestling.com, and I usually put a lot of media in there, tweets of the winners of the matches, and of course a recap and analysis. And so I'm going to recap SmackDown and check out the analysis, the further detailed analysis that I did on WrestlingInc.com's SmackDown review. We had Randy Orton doing an in-ring promo. Daniel Bryan interferes. The two engage in a verbal exchange, and Daniel Bryan asks for a rematch. Orton says he has to wait until Night of Champions, and Daniel Bryan drop kicks him outside the ring. Curtis Axel defeats Cody Rhodes. Now, this is something I did have a big problem with. I don't think that real quick, I'm going to address something in the chat room here. The Antonio Cesaro and El Generico slash, Sami Zayn in NXT. Fantastic match. Please watch the match on YouTube. It was one of the best matches in recent WWE affiliated history. That match had Ring of Honor written all over it, and those both people, Sammy and Cesaro, both known respectively as and Ring of Honor as El Generico and Claudio Castagnoli. That was a Ring of Honor style match, and we got a comment that says they need to move Sammy up ASAP. And I totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. I think that Sammy should be moved up. He already has the cult-like following as El Generico, and you want to talk about your merchandise. You want to talk about merchandise going through the roof. If you would have kept the mask, if you would have kept the El Generico mask, there's your merchandise sales right now, right there. But at the same time, I do understand WWE is all about, you know, product, about marketing and making their whole, you know, thing about themselves as far as branding. And I do understand that El Generico is an indie. It's all about indies. And so, no Generico. But people do know who he is. People do understand the following that El Generico has. He has such a huge following from the indies, and he needs to be brought up as soon as possible. I think that he has Daniel Bryan-like ability because even with him not being Generico, the Ole chants will still be deafening. And Vince McMahon could use that to his advantage because Ole was the indie version of Yes. Ole was such a huge chant at Ring of Honor in the indies, and it has all the ability to become another to become a phenomenal chant in the WWE. So bring him up. I'm all for it. And great call on there on the chat room there. Back to SmackDown here. Okay, so listen, nobody knows who owns the CWF. Jerry Jarrett owned the CWF. Next question is, what year did TNA start? What year did TNA start? So, all right, let's go here to SmackDown after the transaction between Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. Curtis Axel defeats Cody Rhodes. Bad call, in my opinion. Like I said before, you want to push Cody Rhodes as much as possible, and having him lose a random regular match against Curtis Axel, to me, it's just not a good idea. Not a good idea whatsoever, and I definitely think that good job, chat room. 2002 is the correct answer. Having a match against Cody Rhodes and having Cody Rhodes lose clean against Curtis Axel didn't help Cody Rhodes at all. I understand that you're trying to build Axel up, but don't do it at the expense of Cody Rhodes. Curtis Axel should have already been built up. He went against John Cena. He went against Chris Jericho. He went against Triple H when he first had this big push, and that still didn't help him. So now they're throwing him at Punk, and I mean, I understand, like I said, it is a filler feud, but I'm not sold on Curtis Axel. Curtis Axel is just not going to cut it. He's not cutting it. I don't see him getting any better than what he is now, and might have to cut their losses on Curtis Axel, but he'll be the mid-card muscle in the Heyman clan. Heyman needs more people. Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman just alone is a bad idea. I understand that they have Brock Lesnar, but there's a good chance that he probably won't be back on WWE TV for the rest of the year. So we need more Heyman guys, at least one or two more Heyman guys, because Curtis Axel should not just be the standalone Paul Heyman guy because he's already proved that he's not over enough even with Paul Heyman. And so Cody Rhodes has the ability to become that guy, to become a top babyface, and so you have Axel beat him. Not a good idea. Dolph Ziggler defeats Big E Langston. I hope that that's the end of that. Like I said, since last December, that has to go. Alberto Del Rio defeats Christian. Unfortunately, it seems like Christian's wallowing in the mid-card again. So hopefully we'll see more with Christian, a little bit more with Christian, other than just losing. So, Alberto Del Rio cuts the post-match promo, interrupted by Ricardo Rodriguez, and introduces RVD. Christian dropkicks Alberto Del Rio from the top ropes and leads to Rolling Thunder by RVD. I tweeted something last week's Raw, on the 19th episode, the August 19th episode of Raw. And I also wrote it on the SmackDown review on wrestling.com. I said, Bill Alfonso is disgusted right now because for those who don't know who Bill Alfonso is, I would imagine that most people who are listening to this show would know who Bill Alfonso is. He is the whistling manager of he was a former referee, and then he became the manager of Rob Van Dam and Sabu. He carried a whistle, very popular for that. And he'd be disgusted right now because he was a much better manager than Ricardo Rodriguez is for Rob Van Dam. I like Ricardo Rodriguez, but it's just an odd pairing with Ricardo Rodriguez and RVD. It just doesn't make sense to me. All right, next we have Mark Henry and the Big Show defeating 3MB. Post-match promo between Rollins and Reigns on the Titantron. Mark Henry and Big Show is actually a lot better than I thought they were going to be. Actually worked good together. They weren't bad at all. And I definitely think that they could be credible opponents for the Shield, especially if the Shield puts them especially if they put the Shield over. That would work pretty well with that would work pretty well with helping the Shield out because they're actually a formidable tag team. I was very surprised to see them actually work with their match against 3MB. It actually wasn't that bad. They actually worked pretty well off each other, and hopefully we'll see more of them in the coming weeks. Not too long though, not too long. But I think they'll help the Shield with their floundering tag team title reign. Next, we have Darren Young defeating Antonio Cesaro. Daniel Bryan defeating Wade Barrett in a steel cage. Actually, not too bad of a match. It actually helped them out a lot. And I hope that Wade Barrett stays in this feud indirectly. And I think it. This is the best that Wade Barrett has had for quite some time, and I'm sure that he'll be happy with being a part of this feud right now. So kudos to Wade Barrett, and hopefully we'll see more of him as a mid-card heel for this new corporation. All right, let's go to the second installment of Hardcore Justice. Impact Wrestling, the second installment. Interesting, the taped version of Hardcore Justice, a pay-per-view that the second half, a pay-per-view that turned into a television special that is now taped. Yeah, very, very interesting. The numbers help with the numbers has helped with these TV specials, but I guess that they decided to have more TV specials to help ratings. But Yeah. Feel free to comment on chat room how you feel about Impact Wrestling. Unfortunately, a lot of people aren't really on board. Bobby Roode, Christopher Daniels, and Kasari in ring promo. Daniels names group the Extraordinary Gentlemen's Organization, which is an acronym for EGO, which is extremely funny. Roode invites Austin Aries to group. Storm and Gunner appears. Storm talks to Roode and eventually hits him, and leads to an impromptu match of Storm and Gunner versus Roode and Kazarian, which the heels win by Roode low-blowing James Storm. Manic defeats Sanjay Dutt. Good match there. Joseph Park defeats Christopher Daniels, Jay Bradley, Hernandez in a street fight for 20 points. Very surprised that Joseph Park won that match. But I do understand the fact that this new alliance that he has with Eric Young actually works to Joseph Park's benefit. I actually like the alliance, and actually works out pretty well for Joseph Park, because he was getting old fast and he was in dire need of a revival for his feud. As far as his character is concerned, it seems as if they really don't have much interest in bringing back Abyss at all. So Joseph Park, Eric Young with Joseph Park, I can handle that. Next we have, well, then Austin Aries appears in the match and seems to be aligning with Ego, but he brainbusters Daniels. Kind of has a, you know, he's kind of the new lone wolf, since the old lone wolf changed his ways at the end of the show. We'll get to that. Bully Ray with Tito Ortiz in ring promo brings out Brooke Tessmacher. That is the Brooke that he has been alluding to on the phone last couple weeks or so. And Brooke Tessmacher looks like a carved out heel. I think that her mannerisms and just everything, you know, just her actions. She fit pretty well, just dressing in the black, and her demeanor worked really well as a heel with Bully Ray. I don't think it helps Bully Ray so much, but I do think that it could help Brooke Tessmacher. I think they actually should capitalize on that by having Tessmacher win the Divas or win the Knockouts title, and have Tessmacher and Bully Ray be the man and woman champion leading into Bound for Glory. I think it'll help out Brooke that way. Gail Kim defeats ODB. Not too good of a match, and the commentary with Taz was absolutely horrible. End of story. Main Event Mafia defeats Ace of the Nates. AJ Styles comes back, reveals himself as the fifth member, goes back into the old AJ Styles days, which I think they could have done something. I think they could have worked. I understand that Kurt Angle left, and it didn't seem like this was planned, but I really wish that they would have spent some more time with this AJ Styles lone wolf, no one gimmick. It really, really helped. I really liked it. It was different. It was new. The music was really good. It really complimented AJ Styles' new gimmick. And if they would have spent some more time with the storyline building, I think that it really would have been the resurgence that AJ Styles needs. When instead we get Phenomenal One again, and it just seems like business as usual. So I wasn't a big fan of that. D-Von gets pinned, so he must leave TNA. So no more D-Von. That was a very interesting choice. Very interesting choice to have D-Von gone, seeing how Nux seems like the most expendable member of Aces and Eights. But if you're not Bully Ray or Anderson, you really don't mean much in the Aces and Eights anymore. So we're actually going to get on with the Flavor of the Week. We're going to talk about some NWO. And we're going to bring in Jericho Raw correspondent. Of course, we usually have Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor did show some good programming. Can't get into it in detail today because we want to spend some time for the flavor of the week this week. We have a long list of original members of the NWO, and we're going to do a thumbs up and thumbs down. Now, we got some good reviews last week about the thumbs up and thumbs down flavor of the week that we had with the Four Horsemen, and we're going to do that with the original members of the NWO, the original incarnation of the NWO. 21 total members of the NWO, and we're gonna have some fun. Like I said, we usually have the ROH wrestling, the TV results in detail, but we are going to address the. We're going to spend some time with the flavor of the week this week, and come back to us for the Ring of Honor results for next week. But basically, the gist of it is they're forming the title tournament with Jay Briscoe leaving, being forced to leave, got beat up by Scum, messed up his shoulder, title's vacant. Now they have a 16-person tournament to determine the winner, and for the next few weeks they're going to be heavily emphasizing the ROH World Title Tournament. So be sure to check out Ring of Honor to watch some fantastic matches with the title tournament. So that should be very fun to watch. It should be very fun to see. And I suppose that we can real quick do the results here. It was a Four Corners match with Brian Fury winning with the Black Tornado Slam. The other members was a Proving Ground match. Four Corners Survival win a TV title match. Vinny Marsella came back. Todd Hansen, who looks like he looked like a lost member of the Highlanders. Congo was built from South Africa with very weird and then Brian Fury. So Brian Fury wins that. Then we have the CNC Wrestle Factory defeating the Party Boys, hashtag Party Boys, Max Sydal and Zizou Madu. Very good match there. By the way, for those who did not know, we had Caprice Coleman on the show for the CNC Wrestling Factory a few weeks ago. And then the main event was Jay Lethal defeating Sanjay Dutt. Interestingly enough, Sanjay Dutt was on both TNA and Ring of Honor. So in the same week. And I think he even tweeted about that. That was very interesting. All right, well, let's bring in Derek, our esteemed Raw correspondent, to talk about the flavor of the week. All right, we got some names from the NWO. The NWO, we all know, started 1996. And I think we had the what year did TNA start? 2002. Correct answer was in the chat room. 1996. The NWO formed, and it was just such a huge, monumental time in professional wrestling. 1996 was one of the most controversial years in pro wrestling with the advent of the NWO. And it was such a groundbreaking time in pro wrestling with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash and eventually Hulk Hogan being the three members of the NWO concept that was reportedly taken from Japan by Eric Bischoff and just became one of the best factions in pro wrestling history. It was must-see TV every week. Who was the next member of the NWO? How are they going to continue to sabotage the WCW? It became must-see TV. And then, unfortunately, they had just an overkill of members. They had everybody joining, so to speak. They just had person after person after person joining the NWO. And just the more people that joined, the more the power and the dominance of the group started to diminish. It just became just random names that had no business being there. So we're going to do a thumbs up or down for the NWO members. And Derek and I are going to discuss that. We got about a good 20 minutes left, so let's start off with Scott Hall. Scott Hall was the founding member of the NWO. I don't think that there's absolutely no dispute in my eyes that Scott Hall as a member of the NWO was absolute thumbs up. He was the first member of the NWO. He was the one who brought the NWO to the WCW. A very interesting choice because he was kind of floundering a little bit as Razor Ramon. He was like the latter parts of his WWE career. As Razor Ramon, he was huge at one point in time, but towards the latter part of his career, 96, as Razor Ramon, he was just mid-carder, wasn't really getting over as much as he did before. So left WWE, went to WCW, started the NWO. He was a face in WWE, came as a heel in WCW, so that was a shocker as well. And, you know, you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. And just really set the ground. He did a fantastic job setting the ground for what was later known as the NWO. So without question, I would say more than anyone, thumbs up for Scott Hall. What you got, Derek?
Oh, yeah, definitely thumbs up. Scott Hall, he created the turning point in professional wrestling as far as the way he left WWF. All of a sudden, hey, he's on WCW. What's he doing here? And he just epitomized the NWO, what they were about. And he's been successful everywhere he's been, AWA, WWF, WCW. He just took the NWO and just made it this absolute powerhouse, or at least as a founding member. That was one of the greatest moments in wrestling is when he defected to the WCW and came on as, you know, Scott Hall. No more Razor Ramon, no more gimmicks. This is how I am. You know, put the grind to the gears. This is Scott Hall. I am the NWO. And he just reeked of, he was so cool. Everybody loved him. He made professional wrestling the way it is. He is one of those few individual figures that actually turned the corner for professional wrestling, what it became in the 90s, what it is today. Definitely thumbs up. Agree with you 100%, hands down.
Awesome. Kevin Nash is the next person we're going to talk about here. Kevin Nash also defected from the WWE, was Diesel, and was the second member of the NWO. He shocked the world by appearing on the announcer's booth area to the chagrin of Eric Bischoff. And it was a very good moment as well. It really helped the NWO because you have two people who defected from the WWE, two big names who defected from the WWE, and they are here, they're outsiders, what is this all about? It had the real feel all over it, and I really think that Kevin Nash was also a very, very good member of the NWO. No matter if you like him or if you don't, no matter if you agree with a lot of he says or agree with hardly anything that he says, I think that Kevin Nash in the NWO was an absolute benefit, and it was a thumbs up for sure.
Yeah, definite thumbs up. And he's just one of those few characters, just like Scott Hall and Hulk Hogan, that left the WWF and their career just skyrocketed. And not that they didn't have success in the WWF, but they just their whole new persona of just no more gimmicks, no more crazy, you know, I'm a big trucker or whatever Diesel was supposed to be. It was, you know, this is who we are. And, again, one of those few that, that came from the WWF and just made WCW what it was, made the NWO what it was, just an absolute machismo powerhouse. No, no rules apply to us. We're cool. And it worked. It was absolutely brilliant. You know, you can almost give him as much credit as you can Scott Hall as far as just making this work, building it to what it was to bury the WWF. And that was arguably the best times in wrestling, modern wrestling history. But it set the tone for what was to come here, you know, the next 2 or 3 years. That was just absolute chaos for Monday night viewers. Definite thumbs up. He's another godfather of what made the NWO work.
Next we have Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan came from the WWE 94. Yeah, he jumped over to WCW and just kind of his gimmick was still kind of the real American type of deal. But he changed his music, American Made. It was just kind of different. He started to get even boos because it started to get old. And so he was in need of a complete overhaul. There was suspicion about who the third guy is. Who's this third guy? Ambassador Beach 1996 was the day. The NWO officially forms when Hulk Hogan, who before then, was not a heel for 20 years. It was over a dozen years since Hulk Hogan was a heel. It was around, actually, if you count his stint in the AWA, it was actually over a dozen years, about 15 years since the last time Hulk Hogan was a heel. He started off in the NWA as a heel. He was a heel in the WWE when he first started. He was managed by Classy Freddie Blassie. So it was around 15 years or so since he was a heel. Started Hulkamania in the WWE in 84 and skyrocketed since then. And he ended up being the third guy. Hulk Hogan was the third guy, and he was the third member of the NWO. That is what really put the icing on the cake of the NWO. The shock value was through the roof. I don't think that we'll ever have that type of shock value in pro wrestling history. By far, to me, that was the greatest heel turn in pro wrestling history. Shock value, liked Hogan, didn't like Hogan. He gave the shock value. He gave the heel turn, and it was totally unexpected. Absolute thumbs up for Hulk Hogan for me.
Yeah, another thumbs up. I mean, Hulk Hogan was involved in, especially, you know, past his prime, but he started a new prime. As the bad guy, the ultimate American icon, just kind of putting his thumb in the eye of everyone that believed in him and the eat your prayers and say your vitamins. It was just a new attitude that Scott Hall and Kevin Nash was able to bring out for him. Hulk Hogan being a bad guy, I mean, that was just beautiful. I'd rather hear Hulk Hogan come out the Voodoo Child any day than I'm a Real American that he came out to. So, I mean, it was great to see him in the black with his 5 o'clock shadow and his bleach blonde mustache. It was a beautiful thing that you said it worked. Something like that will never happen again. There's nobody today that if they turned heel, that it would just blow the roof off the stadium. not stadium, they don't have roofs, but the arena. So it was such a magical miracle when it happened. You're still confused about it, but I mean, but weeks to come, you knew that this had to happen to Hogan again. It was his second prime, and it could almost rival his first run as far as being a headliner. So definite thumbs up. The Outsiders, Hollywood Hogan, changing his name to Hollywood just gave him this arrogance. It was great. That was probably the best move, well, second best move he's ever made. Thumbs up.
Awesome. Next we have Ted DiBiase. He came in as more of a manager role. Of course, he retired from active wrestling before then. This was around the time where the NWO was starting to be diluted a little bit. He came and DiBiase came in the latter part of 96, August of 96, and he only stayed until, I believe it was like the beginning part of 97, as far as DiBiase is concerned, August of 96 to April of 97, so not much time. That's what, 7-8 months. And so it was more of a manager role. I think he was expendable. I think that the NWO didn't need DiBiase, so I'd give him a thumbs down.
Yeah, I agree. Thumbs down. Nothing against Ted DiBiase. He's one of the elite. But just benefiting the NWO, it did not work. There was really no point to him being there. If he was never there, nobody ever would have said, oh, I bet Ted DiBiase would make a great NWO manager. Wouldn't work, didn't work. So it's, yeah, he was just kind of a filler, just someone to be there. It was a name that people still reflect and say, oh, that's a WWF superstar. But, it was, again, he hadn't wrestled for a few years by then. So a cheap shot at Vince McMahon, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, thumbs down. Too bad. I never want to give DiBiase a thumbs down, but that just wasn't really his place to be there. So good for him, but forgettable.
Next, we have the Giant. The Giant joined in the fall of 96, and he only stayed there for a few months. He was kicked out the group in December of 96. I suppose that he was good. He was, as far as in original incarnation, it brought more of an intimidation factor in the group. He joined only 2 months after the NWO technically formed, and so I understand it was a little bit more of a shock value still. I would slightly give him a thumbs up.
Yeah, give him a thumbs up. I'd probably give him a thumbs down. Yeah, he wasn't really anything that, you know, NWO material, I guess, to expect. Again, he just kind of stood there. Not much going on. Now, he's much better off today as the Big Show. Ever since he left WCW, WWF brought new life into him. He's had an awesomely successful run with that.
WWE.
His NWO days, again, are a bit forgettable. Yeah, you remember he was there, but, again, it was a really short-lived time. Didn't really make that big of an impact. So I'd say thumbs down.
All right, we'll go to next to Fake Sting, also known as Cobra, before the NWO days. He was there solely for the purposes of, well, he ended up founding NWO Japan with a couple other people, Buff Bagwell and Chono and Muda and a couple other people. But he was there because he was the decoy of that time, because this is around Sting starting his Crow gimmick, because he was there for the purposes of convincing people that Sting joined the NWO. So I understand why he was there. Didn't really play much. He really didn't make any big of a role. They didn't have to book that. But I do understand why, because it kind of caused more of a ploy. So for that reason, I'm still going to slightly give them a slight thumbs down because I don't really see – I don't really think he was a good member of the NWO.
You mean to tell me that wasn't really Sting?
Wow. It's true.
I'm heartbroken. I thought, oh, wow. Oh, geez. Yeah, fake Sting. Again, like you said, it was a decoy. Sting's been impersonated before by Barry Windham back in the early 90s, so I thought it was a sleeper. I didn't really – yeah, fake Sting. I get why they did it. It was – it could have been comical, but, yeah, thumbs down. It didn't – it was like fake Diesel and fake Razor. It just didn't. Nothing.
All right, let's go through the other ones real quick. Six, he was a sixth member of the NWO. Definitely was a good member of the NWO. I think he was absolutely thumbs up. He really fit the NWO mode.
Yeah, he was a thumbs up. Everyone knew. You know, he was another guy that came from WWF. Hey, that's a 1-2-3 kid. He comes out of six. I'd give it a thumbs up. However, he went on to back to WWF with D-Generation X, so that was a better fit for him. That was the only fit for him. After that, he was absolutely nothing. But I'd give him a thumbs up. He was a good member. Everyone remembers the billiard ball T-shirt with the six on the back of it with NWO in the front. So I got it. And, yeah, he was good for him. So I'd give him a thumbs up as well.
Awesome. Next, we have we have Buff Bagwell. He was a member of the American Males, and he turned on Scotty Riggs when they were on a mission. Bischoff was on a mission to get people to join. It was kind of like join or else type deal, and I remember very clearly how he joined. He was with Scotty Riggs, American Males, and he executed a neck breaker on Scotty Riggs, turned on his partner, became Buff Bagwell, completely changed his gimmick. I'm Buff on the stuff, and that definitely, you know, Buff Bagwell was because of the NWO, and he's still Buff Bagwell, so. Absolutely thumbs up for Buff Bagwell, the best thing that could have ever happened to his career.
Yeah, you said everything. It was the best thing. I mean, people say Buff Bagwell, I immediately think of NWO. However, that doesn't mean I think Buff Bagwell was buffing the stuff, but for him, that was a great move. He's had a lot of gimmicks, or not gimmicks, but feuds. I'm trying to remember, he brought his mom out a couple times, Mrs. Judith Bagwell. And so I remember that as well forever. I'll remember Buff Bagwell's mom. It's not really was his mom. But, yeah, for him it was great. Yeah, he was with the American Males, and NWO just really transformed who he was. It made him. He's probably still still that character today. So it was good for him. Thumbs up. His 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, definitely. All right, we're going to do two more today, and then we're going to do part two next week. The thumbs up, thumbs down. I guess series now. We're going to have one next week as well. Any more thumbs up, thumbs down, because we're getting good reviews on this. I got a few minutes left. So we're going to do part two next week, and we're going to finish with a couple more names today. Any more thumbs up, thumbs down, groups that you can remember, whether it be from WCW or NWA or WWE, let us know. D-Generation X is another good one that we'll probably get into soon. Heart Foundation is another good one. So we're going to continue this series throughout the rest of the year and see how far we'll go. Have some fun with it. All right, let's do one more name. Let's do Mike Wall Street. Now, IRS, Mike Rotunda, VK Wall Street, whatever you want to call them. I don't think that there's much need to go further in with him. This was an absolute bust. He was there for about 4 months or so. Just pointless. Just an absolute pointless member of the NWO had no reason to be there. You want to talk about diluting a powerful and dominant group. That's exactly why and how you dilute them. No offense to Mike Rotunda. He's, you know, I believe he's a Hall of Fame wrestler with U.S. Express and, you know, with the Varsity Club and with him and DiBiase, Money Incorporated as RRS. So he has a Hall of Fame worthy career, in my opinion. But NWO, it was towards the latter parts of his career, an absolute pointless member of the NWO, a major, major thumbs down in my book.
Yeah, thumbs down. I agree with that because, again, Mike Rotunda was – I loved IRS. He was a great character. Just one of those, kind of like DiBiase. You can give him all the accolades in the world, but when it came to the NWO, he just didn't really – there was no reason to ever mention him. If he was never a part of the gang, nobody would, again, say, oh, Mark Rotunda. So he was awesome, great tag team contender, also on his own. IRS was by himself for a while before he joined Money, Inc. But he's a Hall of Famer, but there was really no point to him. And he's one of those wrestlers that just kind of stood in purgatory for a long time, you know. He could be great, but no one really gave him the chance to be great, but, yeah. It happens, so thumbs down. Didn't really work out for him, and he's another forgotten member, except by us.
Exactly. Awesome show, as always. Thank you very much, Derek, for being a part of the show, as always. Wonderful time as a Raw correspondent today. Wonderful job, and also wonderful job with the thumbs up, thumbs down series of the Pancakes and Power Slams Flavor of the Week segment. 347-884-8452 is the number to put on in your back pocket for next week. We're going to start taking more calls here and having some fun, especially with this thumbs up and thumbs down. We'll bring more people in the line and have some fun with that. Follow Crave Wrestling at Crave Wrestling for the latest and greatest of WWE news on Facebook, Mike Crave Wrestling, and of course check me out on Bleacher Report. Thank you so much. I'm over like 3 million reads now, in the top 200 of the entire division of wrestling. So big thing to have over 3 million reads. And I'm very, very happy that the support is amazing. Of course, wrestling.com, check me out. Write articles there. Retro Wednesday topic every week. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week, God willing. And until then, have a great week of wrestling. Enjoy your week, and God bless. Goodbye.